just make a couple of pertinent comments and remarks related to some things that have been touched on here. I'll start with the most recent, and that would be this matter of trust. It's going to be important for a missionary. In some societies, it will be paramount for a missionary to gain people's trust before they will hear, give that missionary a hearing. I remember, and this is a case example. I'm going to talk while I walk over here and get something to sip on. When we were moving out to the western part of Kenya to a new town, I knew that there would be a lot of Asian people there, particularly a lot of Hindus. And the Lord crossed my paths with some Hindu or some Asian believers here in the States that had the opportunity to sit and talk with them at length. And I said, what is something that I need to be aware of about the Asian culture, the Indian culture, that will help me to be able for them to grant me a hearing of the gospel? And they said, you're going to have to take time, and it will take a lot of time for you to gain their trust, and you're going to have to demonstrate that just through some consistency in the day-to-day things that you do in your relationship with them. And you can talk about the gospel all you want, but they're not going to hear it. And when they eventually see your sincerity in pursuing a relationship, and that you're not just after a prize to seize in them, that there will come a time when they will drop the guard, they will drop their defense, and they will listen to what you have to say. And we saw the Lord bear that out. One of them that made a definite profession of faith in Christ, and others that they listened to what we had to say. And so these things take time, and much of what your task, our task as missionaries, much of what is needed is time. So don't be afraid to make an allowance for the need of time as one of those instruments that will help you in your work. And I, on the matter of trust, I also I encourage you to give some forethought as to the building of trust in a reciprocating way. I have seen a number of issues or a number of situations where converts on the mission field, that they would say what the missionary wants to hear. They could be what the missionary wanted them to be if they saw that it would gain them an advantage in being promoted, so to speak. And we need to understand trust as a very precious commodity, if I can use that word, that we would mete out in careful measures to where we can prove the integrity of people. And I'm not talking about being over demanding or unreasonable, setting unreasonable expectations for people, but doing things for example, and I go back to this matter of leadership skill, maintaining confidentiality. Tell someone something that you tell no one else and see if it gets back to you in trying to determine the trustworthiness of an individual who you think has some great leadership potential, and see if they can be trusted to maintain confidentiality. And I think it would only be fair to do some teaching on the importance of observing confidentiality when we're in the ministry, and then, of course, putting people to the test. Not because we want to be that overbearing or over-demanding leader ourselves, but we want people who will prove themselves to have these leadership skills that Brother Martin talked about, and that's just one example. So I encourage you to give some thought towards some reasonable ways in which to prove the trustworthiness of those whom you'll be training in the ministry. One other thing I wanted to touch on would be this matter of the code of conduct. When it was brought to my attention, and especially I think the way that someone quoted the CLA, that every organization needs to have a written code of conduct, I believe that is a good instrument for us to give some thought to. Is that embedded in the notes?
No, I know. We took okay. It along with the employee.
Okay. We can put a sample of that in with the information on the website, just so you can have an idea. But I won't go into great detail on this, but I know of a number of missionaries who ended up in court because there were some verbal generalities that they gave out to people who were working with them in the ministry, and on the other side that there were some presumptions or some assumptions that people were making, that if I'm doing A and B, then eventually I'm going to get C, that will have to be given to me. And especially in matters of those who are volunteering in the ministry, they want to preach. Well, most everyone knows that preachers are always paid to preach, but when the fact of the matter is that is not always true. And so give some thought as to some. You know, like it says in 1 Corinthians 14, I believe it's verse 7 or 8, that if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, how shall they know what the meaning of it is? Paul, of course, was writing to help bring some order to the confusion of tongues that was at Corinth. And using that example, and we need to be clarity, as you just talked about, Brother Wayne, this matter of clarity, and not that we have to spell out in exacting detail everything to where we end up with a small volume that becomes the code of conduct, but some type of an explanation as to how what the expectations are, what some of the standards are, and what the end result will be, that of someone complying with these, that we would be able to give some idea of how these things operate, because there have been one of the big things that burdened us in much of our ministry in Kenya, I called it pulling weeds. Because there were 150 years of missions in Africa before I got there, and things that people did that I had no intention of doing any of those, and the buying of land and the building of buildings and the paying of salaries and some of these other things, I had no intention of doing those, but yet those preconceived ideas had permeated the society there, so that everyone knows, well, this is what a missionary does. In fact, I remember having a good brother in our church who worked for another missionary, who was a good missionary, but he had a different philosophy than I did, and he would spend months here in the States raising funds for building, for buying land, putting up lavish buildings, and paying salaries and some of those things. And I'm not here to discuss whether that's right or wrong or not, but I remember this brother in our very small, humble church building there on the outskirts of Nairobi. He told me one day what Brother So-and-so was doing, and he made sure that I understood. Now, he is a real missionary. All right, Brother Henry, thank you. Thank you for letting me know what a real missionary does. And it was one of those things. But a lot of preconceived things are in place, probably even in atheistic Russia, over what missionaries do or don't do or what Christianity is or is not. And so try to give some thought towards, of course, praying and letting the Holy Spirit lead you on how you can just set up some general guidelines and ideas of how things would operate. And with that, I'm going to fold my little piece of paper, tuck it in my pocket. Does anyone have a closing comment or a closing question for Brother Martin or for anyone in the room here? Brother Peach. I had good intentions of having an evaluation form, but I appreciate you bringing up the idea of, or the matter of feedback. Address, smart@biomissions.org. If you have some constructive comments that you would like to offer about, for example, this training session, maybe there were some things that you were hoping would be touched on during a leadership development conference, but we didn't foresee those or include them. Feel free to communicate that to us. I would also appreciate some input from you, as I believe I mentioned yesterday, on specific training issues. Someone handed me a note yesterday, very good note. On some matters of culture and some ideas of how one gets a ministry started and some of those things that we need to work on in our development here in the Smart Ministry, Smart Training Ministry. So feel free to share those to us. You can use that email address as pretty much as the channel through which to get any of that kind of communication to us. And then the last thing that I would want to receive, well, I would also want to receive from you, if you have a good report about how this has affected you, how that this has helped you. We're trying to use examples, good examples of how people are benefiting from this, so that we're hoping to stir up some desire among others to be part of the Smart Training Ministry. So if you have some favorable feedback of this is how it helped me and so forth, we would welcome that as well. Brother Peach, that's about all I have to say on the area of feedback. And anyone else?